Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
Used the tradesman's entrance into the empty holy house, finding little else but a font and a good place from which to plan their next move. They climb up the stairs to the bell tower for a better vantage point, and openly discussing the options, our heroes decide the best way forwards for once is to split the party. Yes, this is the part where our listeners audibly groan. Yep, and there it is. A plethora of clever casting sees Otto opt for a bird form once more in an attempt to draw the attention of their flighty foes. Eric produces a decorative spellbook from a location unknown in preparation of problems yet unseen. The sorceress gave Rowan a boost to his stealth and bolstered her health before taking some of the team in hand and doing a magical disappearing act. Meanwhile, Esther and Bojo formed the backbone of the essential base camp backup plan as they stayed in situ. We rejoin the story as Elora, Ogvar, Cuin and Eric apparate on top of the forecastle at the front of the galleon and immediately spot something suspicious. Episode 132, Ship Happens.
What are you doing at this point? As a snap action, basically. What are you doing?
Right. Let's find somewhere to hide. Try and get some cover. This has not gone well. We've been spotted already. Look, Otto's up there. He's trying to do something. I don't know.
Yes, I mean, you could try and creep, but seeing how they're looking at us...
Well, yes, but standing here is not doing anything. Let's try and just... Laura's going to make a light run to the nearest possible wall or structure of maybe, I don't know whether there's a wheelhouse on this thing or just some crates or cargo netting or something to offer a little bit of cover so that she's not stood like a Belisha beacon in the middle of the deck.
Okay. As you begin to kind of start looking around to find somewhere to take some cover. Everyone, including Otto, make me a spot check, please.
Ogvar rolled a 15 plus 11, which is 26.
26, nice.
Cuin, 9 plus 6, 15.
Nice.
Elora, 3 plus 7, which is a 10 or 11.
You shit.
Yep.
Otto.
Roll the 1 on the dice, plus 18, 19 in total.
Okay, you get a free pass because you're being chased by some birdies. You've got no excuse. Okay. So, Otto, thoroughly distracted by maintaining your airspeed enough to continue baiting and taunting, but just enough so that you're not going to get bitten, mm-hmm. You are thoroughly distracted by this, especially with 12 of these birds on your tail, beginning to kind of fan out and generally kind of look very imposing and threatening. The rest of you, as you begin to look for cover, onto the deck from a... On the starboard side, there is what appears to be a wide kind of ramp or staircase type of affair. You see some large beings appear. These beings are a soft orange brown in colour. Taller than a human by a foot and a half, perhaps, you would say. They stand somewhere around 7 to 8 feet. And as they appear, you can see this is built or has been made in the form of a humanoid. They are of the same shape, although their chests are grossly distorted and large, bulked up, looking almost moulded, and their arms are long and hang low, with clubbed kind of fists almost. The head sits squarely on its shoulders with very little apparent neck. As they begin to appear from below decks, roll initiative, all of you.
Okay.
Otto, at this point, if you want to roll initiative as well, and we'll keep you in the order.
Cool, thank you. Rosalina says survive.
Oh, come on. Come on, dice.
Working well today.
No, not at all.
Okay, so let's look at the initiative. So, Opvar.
6 plus 6 is 12.
Okay. Cumin.
4 plus 2 is 6.
Nice.
Laura is a 9 plus 8, which is a 17.
Why are you only good at rolls, the initiative rolls?
Ladies first.
That's probably because I've got a huge modifier.
Okay, Otto.
Got a 5 on the dice, plus 1, 6.
Let me just roll for Eric. We're at an 8 plus 1 on a 9.
Yeah, let's get into this. Yeah.
Okay, so let me just quickly draw up that initiative order. So at the top of the round, we have Elora. Next up, we will have Eric. Next up, we will have... Next up, we'll have Ogvar. Mm-hmm. Next up, we'll have Eric. And then we'll have Qin, and we'll drop Otto. Qing, apparently. Otto at the bottom of the round. There we go. So, the area you have in front of you. You have... The deck is approximately 20 foot wide. You are stood on the forecastle, and the area where these beings, these very odd-looking, misshapen beings, is emerging from, is the it's like the kind of the main deck area. So, you are approximately 10 foot higher than them at the moment. And there is a staircase on each side leading down to this deck. And you can see on the other side of this deck, this middle deck, there is also staircases leading up to the deck beyond that. Okay. So. I should probably roll for their initiative as well, that would help.
No, they just get ones, it's okay.
With any luck.
Well, you said that. I've just rolled a nat one.
Yay!
Minus one. So we're on a zero for them.
That means he goes home and thinks better of it.
That's they hit it, each other.
As Ogvar would say, reassesses his life choices.
Okay. So, we're now in combat. Top of the round, Elora.
How many can she see in front of her?
You can see... Two of these creatures.
Two. Do they? I'm going to assume that these things are threatening. Is she going to talk to them? No, she's not going to talk to them. Hell no. Right. Elora will cast. She's going to have a go at casting Salt Ray on them.
Okay. Does
that have a
which
spell?
Is a divine spell, which she would not normally be able to do as a sorcerer, but because it was given to her as, well, it came to her as a supernatural ability, which is why she can use it. Okay, so it says, a thin shaft of whirling salt crystals lances out from my crooked finger to strike and shred my foe. I've got to succeed on a ranged touch attack with a ray to strike a target.
Okay, does that spell have spell resistance?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
So, you can...
You want me to roll?
Roll to attack, yeah.
Okay, right. Oh my god, what's that? Oh, 15 plus... I didn't fill the spell out properly, did I? Hang on. 15 plus 9. So that's a 24.
Okay. Your spell lances out this ray of kind of almost crystal, striking the first golem in its abnormally distorted chest. The salt crystals that form are absorbed.
Oh no.
And deal no damage.
Great.
Okay. Are you doing anything else on your turn?
I think she would probably just yell, "Oh my god, take cover!" And she's going to run to the nearest object that she can duck down behind. Is there anything?
No.
Nothing at all.
You have some railing in front of you, but there's no real, it's kind of, it's got posts, there's no cover.
Right, she's going to try and get as low to the ground as she can. She's going to crouch down. Try and make herself as small as possible.
Okay, so next up in the round is Ogvar.
Okay, first of all, seeing them clearly, does Ogvar know what they are or anything about them?
Make me a knowledge nature, please.
Okay.
Or an arcana, if whichever's higher.
Knowledge nature, that would be. And that is a 17 plus an 8.
25.
Thank you, Colin.
25. 25. <There you go. laughs> Okay, so looking at them, you are actually not familiar with these creatures. You would say that these are probably not naturally occurring, but they do look to be made of clay.
Okay. Alright, yeah then. is that like a free action I've just done, or is that used?
That a free action. Okay, that would be cool. An observation.
Yeah, so at that, Ogvar will move up as far as he can, close to, well, not close to them, but move up to the railings, and will attempt to let a few arrows go.
Okay, so roll to hit, please.
Okay. Am I within 30 foot?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Okay, that's going to be a 26 to hit.
26 will hit. Roll the damage.
Okay, and that will be 1d8 and... 18 points of piercing damage, please.
Nice. Okay. So. Cool. Yeah. And you're doing the second one, are you?
Yeah, can do,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll to hit.
Okay. That'll be a 20 to hit.
20?
No. No, no. Attempt.
Dirty 20. Okay, 20 will not hit.
20 does not hit. Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Is one closer than the other?
Yes, so there's coming up one in front of the other.
Okay, yeah, obviously we would have gone for the closest one.
Yeah, sure. Fair. Cool. So, next up in the round is Eric. Eric will move up to the railing, like you, Elora, moving to the side. Yeah. And he will cast a spell. So, Eric steps up with his tome in hand, stretches out his free hand and casts magic missile. You see three darts of magical energy strike forth towards this first creature, and they splash harmlessly across its clay chest, having no effect whatsoever. Okay, next up, Kewin.
Well, I see now he's got his crossbow ready. He's gonna fire his crossbow.
Yep.
At the lead one.
Okay. Not hit.
That's 16 plus 11, 27.
You'll hit.
That's 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he's going to reload his weapon.
Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
That's the end of my return. But, yeah, I'll do it next time.
Okay. So as you fire off this crossbow bolt, you see it hit. However, it sinks into the mud and remains stuck with apparently little effect. Okay. So, Otto, are you still flying around?
Yeah, I'm going to try and fly a bit closer to any concentrations of these creatures I haven't yet been attracted to and get as much attention as I can.
Okay, so do you want to make me a charisma check again, please?
Okay, 18 plus 3, 21.
18 plus 3, 21. Nice, and let's see. With a 13, you're definitely going to attract some more, so we said there were a couple left. You managed to pull five more. So the majority of these vulture-like creatures are now actually out of the rigging, out of the mast. They have now kind of left the scene, left the boat. So you're now dragging, I think, all bar two, if my maths is correct.
Oh, that's good. Unless I need to stop, in which case it's very bad.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, you carry on flying, and you are able to kind of keep them with you and keep them interested. Okay. So bottom of the round is these creatures. The creature at the front begins to lumber forwards. Its steps are heavy and slow. And it moves forwards into the kind of middle of this open space on the deck, beginning to make its way towards the stairs, towards you. They are thumping steps. The second one follows behind it. And they fan out. So, top of the round, Elora.
Ah! From her crouched position between obviously the rails, she can see between the vertical rails. I think what she would probably do, what is she going to do? She's going to she's going to go for the one. Are they both about the same distance away up each set of stairs? Like at the bottom of each set of stairs, presumably. They've come up towards the bottom of the stairs?
No, they are in the middle of the deck.
Oh, they are in the middle of the deck?
Yeah.
How far away from each other?
Probably at 5 foot. They are stood right by each other, but they are big creatures.
Okay. She's going to cast right in front of them. She's going to cast Grease. She's noticed that they're quite heavy and slow moving. So okay. She's going to cast Grease on the deck just in front of them.
Okay.
She wants to attempt to slow their progress if possible.
Okay. So you cast Grease. What are the...
Covers a solid surface with a layer of slippery grease. Any creature in the area when the spell is cast must make a successful reflex save or fail, and the reflex is 15 or fall.
Okay, so we're going to roll a reflex save for both of them, I think, in that case, if you're casting it kind of in front of them on the area they're standing.
Yeah.
So, reflex save, let's see, plus twos. A 6 and an 8.
And that effect, so they've...
There's no spell resistance on that, no?
No, they've both fallen in that area, and that area will remain coated in grease for 10 rounds.
Okay, so you cast this spell, And all of you can see that on this deck is black. It is almost like a painted or burnt black. You see on top of the boards and the planks this kind of layer of almost like a rainbow layer of like oily slick slime appear as it kind of almost floods the deck in front of them, seeping under these creatures' feet as they are moving essentially. As they both step forward, it is almost in perfect synchronization. The right legs go out from under them and they both fall backwards with this massive bang. It is immense. These creatures are incredibly heavy, and as they slam back into the boards, you feel it even from where you stood, the vibration of these creatures falling over. What's the check on them getting up? Is it just
it doesn't actually say. I would imagine they'd probably have to make another reflex save possibly on their go. I'm not quite hang on a minute. A creature can walk within or through the area of grease at half normal speed with a DC balance check.
Yeah.
Failure means it can't move that round and must then make a reflex save or fall. Oh, okay.
Okay, were they falling anyway?
Okay.
Okay, so they are now on the ground. Are you doing anything else at this point?
I think she's going to stay where she is, but just shout to the others, have you got any ideas? These things are huge. I'm not sure how long they'll stay down for, but don't walk into that grease. That's going to be there a while.
Okay. So, Ogvar, you're up next.
I may have to retcon something there, because I applied skirmish damage, and it doesn't apply to constructs. So, my damage was overrated for the last turn.
Okay. What would it have been? So, if you rolled an 18? Without skirmish.
Probably would have been a 6, maybe?
Okay.
It wouldn't have been a lot.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah. Okay, so at that, Arvar will sort of dart across towards Elora to sort of like get an eye on where the grease is while he's going to fire off another two arrows at them, just to, at the same one again, just to try and keep it down.
Okay, go for it, roll to hit.
Okay. That is going to be a 26 to hit.
That will hit, yep. Roll your damage.
Okay. That's going to be 7 points of damage.
Okay.
And the second arrow is probably not going to hit because that's a 14.
Will not hit.
Okay.
Additionally, your first arrow, as it strikes, again, you see it sink into the clay but almost just stop. There's no visible apparent effect.
Okay.
Okay, so are you doing anything else on your turn?
I was running across the road saying, don't seem to be doing much good here, doesn't seem to be touching it.
No idea.
Made out of some sort of putty.
I don't know. I don't like them.
Okay, so next up, Eric. Eric begins to cast another spell out of his book. You see him furiously, you hear him furiously flipping through pages as he extends his hand and casts Ray of Frost. The beam shoots out straight and misses by a wide mile as he casts a nat 1.
Oh, not good.
Okay, so he is visibly sweating at this point.
Oh, shut up!
Okay, Kewin, you're up next.
Well, Kewin's going to look at the group. I don't fancy going down there. Right, I suppose I better try again. Do I even bother? No. Kewin's gonna just put his crossbow away and stand stock still, because he's not going down there with the grease.
Stand stock still.
And it's the vaults seem to be doing nothing, so he's not going to bother.
Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
That's the end of your turn.
Just standing there. Okay.
God, she was buffering.
Okay. So, Otto, you're up next. You're still flying around?
Still wheeling about at the moment. So the party is gathered on the rear of the ship, was it?
Front of the ship. They're on the foredeck.
Oh, front of the ship. Okay.
Forecastle.
So what I want to do is wheel about. So I'm fairly low to the waves, about 30 feet above them. And I want to position myself with everything coming around me, allowing them to come fairly close, so that I'm lined up heading towards the rear of the ship.
Okay. So yeah, you're able to get yourself into position.
And just spend my time getting myself in that spot, just avoiding contacts, that's kind of the main thing there. And next turn I may have a plan, I'll have to wait and see. Not that I've noticed what's going on aboard the ship yet, we'll have to deal with that when I notice.
Right, okay, so next up is the creature's turn. So, these creatures are going to attempt to get back up. They are still encoded in the grease. They will make another reflex save each in attempt to get up. So, with a 16 and a 12, the creature which you've been focusing all your attacks on will make its way back to standing. The other one, as it gets partially up, once again slips and falls back down with this, again, massive shuddering thump. Okay, that is the end of the turn. They spent their full hand action getting up. Okay, Elora, top of the round.
Ha! Good. What do I do with the other one? She will... She will... She's going to attempt to cast Orb of Acid on this one that's got back up. So that's... hang on a minute. So that's a 16 plus 9, which is a 25.
Okay, that hits.
To hit, and it does 5d8 acid. That's exactly 20 points of damage.
Okay, excellent.
20 points of damage to that big boy.
Okay, so you cast this Orb of Acid, you see it splash over the chest of this creature. And the couple of arrows and bolts that were embedded in it push back out, fizzling and bubbling as the gouges within its chest smooth over and heal up.
Ew.
Okay, are you doing anything else on your turn?
Starting to cry, possibly. She's shooting some very panicked looks in Kewin and Ogvar's direction and kind of lifting her palms up to heaven as if to say, what the hell?
Okay. So, next up, Ogvar.
Ogvar is going to, again, just sort of keep moving, sort of, always trying to distract, sort of keep going, and he's going to reach into his side bag and pull out one of his spark stones. He's going to try and lob one of them at it.
Okay, so you want to make a strength check for the throw, please?
Strength check.
Are you trying to hit it with it as well?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
It's got to be a direct hit. Strength check.
Yep.
It's going to be a 7 all in, 6 plus 1.
It's not going to be enough. No, you're not going to be able to hit it.
Okay.
Sparkstone will clatter across the floor. So what are the effects of the Sparkstone?
It has to be a direct hit.
Okay. Yep. So the Sparkstone clatters across the floor, spinning in the oil. Okay, is that the end of your turn, or are you doing anything else?
What he'll do, so that would be his first action. He'll use his second action, his second BB, just to, as he's thrown it, he'll just reach back, quiver, and just release another arrow just for.
Okay, yep, roll to hit.
So that's going to be on the second.
Yep, no skirmish on this one.
That's going to be 16 plus 10, to be 26.
26 will hit, roll your damage, no skirmish.
Right, no skirmish. And that's going to be 8 points of damage, please.
8 points of damage, okay, yep. Although your arrow flies true, it sinks again into the clay and appears to do no damage whatsoever. Okay. So, next up in the round is Eric. Eric is going to turn to you, Laura, and go, I don't know what to do.
I don't want to hear that.
Sorry.
Well, just do something. You must have something, surely.
I don't know. I'd have to take a look. And he begins rapidly flipping through his book, his tome.
Hurry it up!
Appearing to search for something. Okay, next up, Kewin.
Kewin yet again isn't going to go down there into the grease, He's just going to stay where he is. He's not going to waste any energy or anything.
Okay. Right.
Not a lot.
Everybody is absolutely clueless.
Well, I know what I was going to do. Well, I'm not doing it running through grease.
Okay, so Otto, please, your turn.
Oh, intend to. So I'm going to continue fly, going to basically fly over the ship and now see, get an eagle's eye view, if you'll pardon it, to see what's going on aboard the ship. But as I reach the back of the ship to start flying over it, I'm going to cast a spell. I'm going to cast Wall of Thorns directly into the face of these creatures as they are flying past. At the base, on the back of the ship, it's going to be 30 feet wide, 30 feet high, and about 5 feet thick. And hopefully that'll catch as many of them as it can as I continue to fly on over the battle raging below me.
Okay, so you are basically attempting to entrap as many of these vulture-like birds as possible within the Wall of Thorns.
Yep.
Okay. Epic, for starters. Let's go. So, you're going to cast the spell. What are the terms of reference on the spell?
Okay, so it's in range. It's 30 by 30 by 5 feet thick.
Okay.
It creates a barrier of tough, pliable, tangled brush bearing needle-sharp thorns as long as a human's finger. Any creature forced into or attempting to move through a wall of thorns takes slashing damage per movement speed equal to 25 minus their AC, not counting dexterity and dodge bonuses. I'm hoping that'll be the majority of theirs.
Okay.
Just checking through. So you can cast it directly into the face of creatures, so it can catch them straight away. And then they can, once they're in it, they can then attempt to force their way through it by attempting strength checks as a full round action.
Okay, so for starters, you are casting a spell. There's no rolls to cast, nothing to, no terms of casting.
No saving throw, no spell resistance.
Okay, so you cast it straight into the face of the creatures.
Yep.
Okay, and then what's the calculations needed there? Sorry.
So they take slashing damage equal to 25 minus their AC without dexterity or dodge bonuses.
So 25 minus
their AC.
Without footed, without dodge. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how much damage they take.
Yep.
Okay, so you have, let's do some maths here. You have 17 of them with you.
Yep.
They are all most definitely going to get caught in that. So, let's see. Okay, yeah, so you are going to deal 10 points of damage to every single one of those creatures.
I like it. I like that a lot.
It works, right? Okay. And then if they want to force their way through, what else is there? So if they force their way through...
To attempt to force their way through, they need to make a strength check as a full round action. For every 5 points by which the check exceeds 20, they move 5 feet. They just need to move the 5 feet, so they need to get essentially a strength check equaling 25 to force their way through. If they want to, they can choose not to move and remain motionless, and if they do that, they don't take any more damage. If they do attempt to make that attempt, whether they succeed or fail, they're going to take another 10 points of damage.
Okay, so let's say that they're going to, as they're following you, we're going to tie up their action with yours. So, let's see if they force their way through. We are looking at a... 12, 10, plus 5... 19 plus 5, which is 24.
Which means they don't move. They need to get to 25 to succeed. Which means okay. They're just going to take 10 points of damage.
So they all take a further 10 points of damage. You hear squawking, shrieking, struggling from behind your wall of thorns. You can almost see like puffs of these oily black feathers appearing as they're just, you know, they are stuck fast. Okay, cool. So that's going to be the end of their turn. End of your turn. Are you doing anything else? You carry on flying afterwards?
Yeah, I'll overfly the ship. You can't see it, but he's grinning on the inside. There's a nasty, vicious little smile.
Okay, so as you overfly the ship, there are three birds which have yet to take any action from the mast. Seeing you actually harm and hearing the cries of their comrades, brethren, birdie beast, friends, I don't know, they are going to take action and begin chasing you as well, so you still have three more on your tail.
Okay.
So, next up is the creatures, the big clay creatures. Okay, so one of them is going to attempt to stand up. Reflex save plus 2 with a 3, that's 5. It's again going to slip and fall back down. The other one is going to attempt to start walking through the grease. So it has to make a reflex save. It's not attempting to be subtle here, it's just mechanical, it's going for it. Okay, so it's basically going to have to make another reflex save and go or end up back on the floor.
Yeah.
With a 2 plus a 2, it is most certainly ending up back on the floor. It skids forwards, its foot skids. You see it go backside down first, and again this massive thumping bang. And within this oily kind of grease slick on the floor, you can now see kind of clay-coloured skid marks across the boards where they keep on falling over.
At least you hope they're clay.
Yeah. Okay, so next up, top of the round, is Alora.
The first thing she's going to do is turn to her companions and quickly sort of half shout. They're not that far away from her. Look, this is buying us some time, but what are we going to do with them? At which point, she is going to try something else. What else is she going to try? She's just going to... God. I think she would possibly try hitting one with a sound lance.
Okay, so sound lance, let's go.
So it's going to be noisy, but okay, so fortitude save is 17 for half damage.
Okay, is that a spell resistance one?
Yes.
Okay, so you release this shrieking blast, which has no visible effect whatsoever.
Fuck. Shit.
And you use the spell slot.
Tell me about it.
Okay, is that the end of your turn?
No, she's going to go, shit! That's the end of her turn.
Okay, Ogvar, you're up next.
Okay, is there, what's around it? Is there any, what I'm hoping for is a cargo net or a like a folded up sail or something of that description, like a blanket or a, you know where I'm going from?
Yeah, okay, so you're going to have a high chance of finding something similar.
Okay.
So we're going to say, pick me a 50% increment.
50, we'll go...
High, low.
Yeah, we'll go high, I find it then.
High. Okay, a 54.
Oh!
Just about. Okay, yeah. You are able to find a large, heavy cargo net. It appears to be some kind of... It's heavy duty, you'd say it's probably a cargo net. Which has been folded up by the side of the deck. However, it is on the middle deck. It isn't on the on the same deck that you are. You'd have to go downstairs to grab it.
Okay. So, yeah, Ogvar will leave the relative safety of the top deck and go down to the bottom deck.
Okay.
How far has he moved now?
It's probably about 15 foot.
15 foot, okay.
15
so
to 20 foot, yeah.
He can... Can he pick it up on his own?
Make me a strength check.
Oh, God. But I'll have a sin.
These are designed to be picked up by more than one person, so...
Yeah, that's going to be an 8. 7 plus 8, 1.
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly heavy.
Okay, you shout from there. Quinn, I need your help. If we can't fight them, we'll have to just get them off the edge.
Okay. Nice. Right, so... is that the end of your turn, yep?
No.
No? Okay.
And how far am I away from... So if I can't pick it up, I can't... How far am I away from them? From them?
You're probably about 10 foot.
Ooh, 10 foot.
It is. You are really, really close to them at this point.
Okay, so can I... Not so much pick up the net, whatever it is. Can I just try and fling it and sweep it out while activating translocation anklets and appearing above them?
Ooh, that's saucy.
To drop it on top of them.
Okay.
You've got 10 foot of translocation, so could I just sort of like flip round so it's going, as it's swinging out, it's going up and over them.
Oh, okay.
That's going to evoke some interesting.
I want
checks.
You to make a dexterity check to start off with to see if you can get the swish and flip on it.
Dexterity check. Just straight dex, yeah?
Straight dex.
Where's all my good rolls gone? It's going to be 5 plus 3, it's going to be an 8.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's heavy, which hinders it, but you can get it kind of dragging slightly, just kind of testing the drag. You would, if you think that if you did use a translocation, you would be able to kind of drag it with you. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay, are you going to carry on with that action?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you move 10 foot, which is going to place you almost directly above the golem, which is standing up.
Okay.
You are able to drag the net with you. Swishes out. It's not perfect. However, you have dropped it and it now covers the golem. It is draped over like some kind of weird twisted wedding veil.
Just the one.
Yeah. You haven't had quite enough flick or swish to kind of give it that flare to properly encase the other as well. So it is draped across it like a wedding veil, basically. And that will be the end of your turn. Okay. You finish your turn standing directly next to the golem.
Okay.
In the grease. In the grease.
In the grease, yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
Actually, yeah, you've just appeared in the grease. Make me a reflex save, please.
Reflex save? an 11 plus a 15 is 26.
That'll do.
Yeah, you're fine. You're good with that. You are absolutely fine.
Twinkle toes.
Okay, so... That is the end of your turn. I mean, that was fairly epic, so what I'm going to say is, for that, you can have a luck reroll to use as you want at any point. So, next up is Eric. Eric has finished flipping through his tome.
Oh, good.
And seeing what is going on here, he very quickly casts on himself, touching his hand to his chest, shield. So he creates an invisible tower shield size mobilized disc of force in front of him that will provide a +4 shield bonus to his AC. He then looks at you, Laura. I think he might have the right idea. And makes a beeline for the stairs. He moves down the stairs and kind of hovers around the edge of the grease. Effectively kind of, and he shouts to you over. He goes, I'll help you in a minute. I'll see if I can drag the net. And that's where he's going to end his turn.
Okay.
He stood on the edge of the grease. He hasn't moved into it, but he's also shielded himself to prepare just in case. So, next up, Kewin, your turn.
Kewin's going to go, I'll try to help. Okay.
Hurry up, Kewin, before it gets up again.
And how far, can I just ask, how far from the edge of the grease and the golems?
Okay, so your grease covers how much area, sorry?
Oh, one target or a 10-foot square.
Okay, so...
One object or a 10-foot square.
That's all right.
Okay, yeah, so you've kind of cast it and it's catching both these golems at the moment. He's about 10-foot away from the golem. About 10-foot away from you as well, 10-15-foot. Oh, hang on, sorry, Kewin, sorry. Wrong person.
And as he runs down, he changes to his greatsword.
Okay.
Which has got a 10-foot range.
Yep, so you're dropping the crossbow, drawing that.
I already said I'd put that away.
Sorry,
I got ready. But he's put his bastard sword in his shield, and he goes down to stand by.
Yep.
Can he cast a spell?
Yeah, you can cast a spell.
And casts Divine Favour on himself.
So that gives you a...
plus 3 to attack and plus 3 to damage.
Okay.
For cleric one for 10 rounds.
Okay, cool. Sorted. Right. Yep, so you cast that on yourself and you're now kind of standing by waiting to see what happens, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next up, Otto. You have 3 more birds on your tail. What are you? What actions are you taking at this point? And then we'll get onto the other birds trapped.
I'm going to... I'm going to try and lead these other birds chasing me over the water.
Okay.
And as they come past the ship, so they are directly over water, I'm going to cast Kelp Strand on them.
Ooh, nice. What does that do?
Okay, so Kelp Strand shoots out these strands of kelp, as you might imagine. Can hit up to 3 targets. And...
okay.
They attempt to grapple these creatures and twist entangle them up within this kelp.
Right, cool. So that is, you need to roll to hit, yeah?
So mechanically, yeah, I need to roll to hit each one, and then I need to then to attempt to grapple each one that I've hit.
Okay, so make a roll to hit for each one then.
Okay, so these are ranged touch attacks. So I've got 13 plus 7 for 20 on the first one.
That will hit.
Second one. I've got an 11 plus 7 for 18 on the second one.
That will hit.
And the third one is an 18 plus 7, 25 to hit.
That will also hit, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Then you need to start a grapple check.
Okay, so the grapple checks are slightly different with this spell than normal. I get to use my caster level and my wisdom bonus. And if I'm within 300 feet of an ocean shore, I get plus 4 on the checks. So if that's the case, that should be a total of plus 19 on the roll. So the first
one
is 13 plus 19, 32.
Nice. Do we need to make opposed for this, sorry?
These are grapple checks, so they would be opposed, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so first one's a 32. Yep. With a 19 plus 19.
Wow.
That is 38.
Eight.
Yeah.
38. Yeah. Yeah, so you're not going to grapple the first one.
Second one is a rolled a 19 myself, so I got the 38 this time.
Okay, and with an 8 plus a 19, you're going to be able to grapple the second one.
And now the third, 11 plus 19, 30 in total.
Okay, and a 17 plus 19, you are not going to be able to grapple the third.
Okay.
So, do these two which haven't been grappled, do they take any damage, or is it just...
No, well, they're not taking damage anyway, so they're not grappled.
Just trying to ensnare them. Okay.
But I've ensnared the one. I was hoping it might fall in the water if it gets snared up sufficiently.
Yeah, I'd say you've grappled it, and it is a flying creature, so yeah, it is going to fall in the water. Yeah. It's going to float.
Unfortunately, that's going to leave me in range for some attacks, I suspect, on their turn. But I shall continue trying to keep in the air for a little bit.
Okay, so the birds on your round. So the birds which are currently ensnared in the thorn wall, they're going to make, again, another strength check to see if they can overcome that. So a 17 plus a 5 is a 22.
25.
Which is not enough, so they are going to lose another 10 points again.
Yep.
So they are dropping down quite rapidly. You can hear their screams and squawks and shrieks as they take on this damage. The two which are now following behind you within range will... Okay, they will both belch out a cone of noxious-looking green gas which plumes out from 30 foot from their moors. You can make me a two DC 16 fort checks, please.
Fort saves. My fort save is plus 11. Is this a spell or spell-like ability?
It is a... X. It's an X one.
No, then. Okay, that's fine too.
No, it's not,
plus
not,
11
it's
on these rolls. Right, first one is... Okay. Got an 18 plus 11, 29.
29 will do it, yeah. You're fine from that one.
Second one... I got a 19 on the dice. 30.
Okay, yeah. So you get kind of encased by these two plumes of foul, green, noxious-smelling gas. If you were human, you would be coughing, spluttering, waving your hand, pegging your nose, anything you could do to escape the scent. As it is, you are able to steel yourself enough that you are not affected by this disgusting scent. It
not
smells like decay, rot, flesh. It gives you almost the feeling of like maggots crawling across your senses. It is disgusting.
Sort of wafting a hand and saying, "Oh, be gone."
Okay, yeah, he wafts a wing. Okay, so end of the round, the two clay golems. One will try and get back up again with a 10 plus 2. That's not going to do it. So that one stays down.
Excellent.
The other one, which also that fell down, did it? Yeah, it was down. You've covered it in the net. Yep. That will attempt to get up, which is a full round action. With a 6 plus 2, it will fall over.
Oh, brilliant.
So
excellent.
Both these clay creatures are on the floor. One of them has got a net draped over it, which with a bit of tweaking, you will be able to fully kind of encase it in. You've now got Kewin in place. You've got Eric in place to help out. You're stood right by it, but actually you can make me a reflex save as well because it's fallen down, it's heavy, and it's going to... Actually, you and Eric can also make them.
We're not on the grease.
No, but it's fallen down.
Okay.
And it's going to leave a massive... It's going to be massive, and he is in the grease.
Who's he?
Sorry, Ogvar is in the grease.
Me!
So, Ogvar, make me a reflex save, and Kewin and Eric will also make one at lower DCs.
Okay, Ogvar rolled a 12 plus an 11, which is a 23.
You are safe from the grease.
That's a 10 plus 6, 16.
16, you are able to stay on your feet, you are able to stay balanced. However, Eric rolling a 4 plus a 3 for 7 on his reflex save is going to fall flat on his ass as this humongous creature. It is terrifically heavy. Bang onto the ground, and he loses his footing in the process.
Please don't tell me that he knocks himself out.
He's not going to knock.
He's not going to knock. Magic missile. Fires off into the.
Okay.
At this point, we could really do with a mobile kiln, wouldn't we? Fire these lot.
Twas a fine plan, and Dimdoring onto the deck near the prow of the ship, the three friends plus Eric Shiplington III, the wizard's apprentice, find that they may have chomped off more than they can chew. Sadly, they startled some impish horned creatures who were innocently standing on the main deck at the time, sending them screaming in alarm. This was a precursor to the pounding feet that followed, as two rather large and looming clay golems, as it turned out, presented themselves onto the main deck. As the DM's favourite words flowed forth, the crew clamoured for their nearest D20s and rolled with fingers crossed and gritted teeth. It soon became apparent that magical means were not going to get them out of this mess, and projectiles were simply not bringing home the bacon either. A slippery surface seemed to loosen their legs a little, and once they were laid prone, the ranger's wrangling skills sprung into service as he got down on the deck with a dragnet. High above, a wild-shaped air war was waging. Otto, the party druid, was now ducking and diving in fine fashion, deftly avoiding his flock of avian aggressors, and set about catching them in a combo of thorny vines and kelp. Who knows how this shitstorm is going to pan out? Tune in next week, folks. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign From Backstories to Settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.